Ms. Rana, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and I extend a very warm welcome to the high-level delegation of DRC to this dialogue on its exceptional report. I sincerely thank the government of DRC for their presence in spite of the dire situation. With the deepening human rights crisis in DRC, the situation of women, peace, and security remains a complex and challenging issue, deeply intertwined with the country's ongoing conflicts, instability, and the entrenched gender inequalities that persist. While I commend the government on the efforts made to address these challenges, the reality for many women in the DRC is one of insecurity, vulnerability, and marginalization in peace and security processes. Conflict-related sexual violence, gender inequality, and the exclusion of women from peace processes are persistent problems. The weak rule of law, impunity for perpetrators of violence, and cultural norms that perpetuate gender-based violence continue to undermine efforts for gender equality. Article 52 of DRC's constitution provides that all Congolese have the right to peace and to security. In this regard, DRC is committed to the implementation of the Women, Peace and Security Agenda as enshrined in the United Nations Security Council Resolution 1325, as well as subsequent resolutions, as per which you have also developed and implemented two national action plans on women, peace and security. The NAP is in tandem with the country's national gender policy, with its focus on advancing women's and girls' human rights during and after conflict and working against impunity for crimes perpetrated against women and girls. The second generation action plan, however, came to an end 3 years ago in 2022. Given the dire situation now, it is even more imperative to have a clear plan equipped with resources and capacity. I was happy to note in your opening statement, Madam Head of Delegation, that you mentioned that the third NAP was adopted in 2024. That wasn't clear earlier. So when exactly did this third plan come into implementation? How were women's organizations and victims engaged in its development and implementation? As the first two NAPs had significant funding gaps, what will be the funding provisions for the third generation of NAP? One of the objectives of the NAP you stated would be to combat impunity on sexual and gender-based violence. However, despite the severity of sexual violence, impunity remains a significant problem. Many perpetrators of sexual violence, including militia fighters and even military personnel, and even police are found to engage in conflict-related sexual violence cases with impunity. What concrete plans exist to address the situation? Women's involvement in peace-building and political processes in the DRC is often minimal, despite the fact that they are disproportionately affected by violence and conflict. Local women's groups and activists have been crucial in pushing for peace in communities, advocating for disarmament and reconciliation. However, women's voices have often remained sidelined in formal peace negotiations and political decision-making processes. What concrete measures are you undertaking to increase and ensure the effective participation of women's organizations and victims of conflict-related sexual violence in the development, implementation, monitoring, and evaluation of legal and policy framework related to women, peace, and security? The DRC has a zero-tolerance policy on sexual and gender-based violence and has also passed a transitional justice policy that seeks to address grave human rights violations, including CRSV, and institute much-needed reforms, including to deliver reparations, criminal prosecutions, and truth-seeking, and memorialization and promote accountability. I commend the State Party for establishing and operationalizing the National Reparations Fund for victims of conflict-related sexual violence and other crimes against peace and security under this policy. Can you please provide data and information on the day-to-day operation of the fund and the significant progress made? How many victims of conflict-related sexual violence have benefited from this fund? Do you have a dedicated budget to finance the reparations fund? Women are largely underrepresented in formal post-conflict humanitarian processes, peace-building, and conflict resolution efforts. Also, peacekeeping operations face challenges in implementing gender mainstreaming in their operations. What concrete steps is being undertaken to ensure adequate financial, administrative, and technical capacity of duty bearers to effectively implement a holistic victim-centered and inclusive transitional justice mechanism. My last question is about the decision of the withdrawal of the UN mission that's working in the DRC. With the withdrawal of MONUSCO, I think that's how it's pronounced, the risks of increased violence, humanitarian distress, and a lack of accountability remain high. How will the government's transition plan fill this void, particularly in addressing the security concerns of women and girls and the broad women, peace, and security agenda? Thank you.
Thank you.